So just when you thought the story of Julian Assange couldn't get any more convoluted, for many, he's, of course, the world's most notorious hacker. For others, an infamous security menace. Now you can add another title, international fugitive. Last week, the UK Supreme Court dismissed Mr. Assange's bid to reopen an appeal against extradition to Sweden for questioning over alleged sex crimes. Assange is worried, though, that he'll be plucked out of Sweden by the U.S., and forced to come to D.C. and face charges over WikiLeaks. He could face the death penalty for publishing secret official documents online. And so, Assange has chosen to break his bail conditions. Those conditions said he had to remain at a specified address overnight. And since Tuesday, he's been inside the Ecuador embassy in London. Remember, Ecuador, that's a government that, after Cuba, has the poorest record of free speech in the region and is not against at all persecuting local journalists when the government is upset by their opinions or their research. Joining us now, Rob Broomby from our partner, the BBC. Rob, what's happening now?
Well, essentially, he's holed up there, and we wait to see what the Ecuadorian foreign minister and government make of all this. Essentially, we've been hearing from this side acknowledgement of what's happened from the British Prime Minister. They acknowledge, too, that the premises of the embassy are inviolable, and there's no question of the police entering, or at least entering to arrest Julian Assange, because, of course, they have been in there to discuss what's been happening and left again. So, yes, he's in there. He can't be touched. The question now is, what will the government in Ecuador do with this request? They've sent it back to their head offices, their government in the capital, for consideration. And what we understand is this request was made directly to President Rafael Correa himself, probably because they had contact, the two of them, when Julian Assange was conducting an interview for Russian TV with him some time ago.
Well, let's turn now to Philip Knightley, who's also with us, a fellow Australian with Julian Assange. He was one of Assange's friends who helped him raise the bail money that he needed, about $310,000 American dollars. Mr. Knightley's an author and journalist who lives in London. Philip, why Ecuador?
I don't know. I mean, I think that he was looking around for a place that would provide him with political refugee status, and Ecuador came up. I mean, I don't know why he picked Ecuador, but I know that he felt under heavy pressure to find somewhere that would at least allow him to protect his human rights.
And you offered about $40,000 or so to help him post bail. You're on the hook if he breaks that bail, right, Philip?
Yes, I will lose that money, but I don't regret it. I would do it again. Firstly, because he's a personal motive. He's a fellow Australian in trouble. He's been abandoned by the Australian government. And secondly, because I entirely support his WikiLeaks campaign, and I think he deserves that support.
But do you also think that he should not have to go to Sweden to answer questions over the allegations of rape and sexual assault?
Well, they're only allegations, and the questions that the Swedish authorities wanted to put to him, he volunteered that he would meet with Swedish representatives in London and make himself available for questioning at any time that they wanted to. So one wonders whether there was something behind the request that he should return to Sweden, the extradition warrant, and I think it was the suspicion both held by Julian and other people, his legal advisors, that he would be rendered to the USA, where a grand jury indictment is already in preparation.
Philip,
over WikiLeaks, not over the sexual charges.
Right, understood. Philip Knightley is a friend of Julian Assange's and helped to post Assange's bail bond. Let me go back to Rob Broomby, correspondent with the BBC, here briefly. There is no extradition treaty between the Ecuador and the U.S. that covers political charges, right?
That would seem to be the case. I have to say, a lot of us are in uncharted waters this morning. I watched the TV studios filling up with legal experts, none of whom seemed to have a clue what was going on or what was likely to happen. But let me clarify one or two things regarding Sweden. Of course, What they want to talk to him about are these sexual allegations. He's denied all of them. He said he's put himself at their disposal to do interviews here. They've not charged him. They say they can only charge him in his own country. As regards whether he could be sent on to the United States once he's in Sweden, well, there are a couple of interesting twists emerging there too. First of all, as I understand it, and as I say, this is complicated area here, and many people deeply immersed in the territory are finding it difficult to think their way through this. But as I understand it, the UK Home Secretary would also need to give permission if Sweden were to pass him on to the United States. That we've heard nothing from yet. Sweden, in turn, for them to hand him over to the US, would have to gain an assurance from the US authorities that he would not face the death penalty, because, of course, that would prevent them sending him on. So a lot to play for as yet. As of now, he's safe within that embassy. Theoretically, I suppose, they could put him in a diplomatic vehicle and take him to the airport and remove him to the country. I think most people feel at the moment some kind of negotiation will be the outcome of this, whereby the Swedish authorities are encouraged to give an assurance they will not pass him on to the United States.
And one would assume, though we haven't really gotten word, that the United States would be involved in any of these, or is this just between Sweden, Ecuador, and the UK?
Well, of course, the campaigners on his behalf, as I'm sure Philip will confirm, believe that the United States is somewhere behind this, at least sympathetic to the move of getting him arrested, so they have a possibility of removing him to their own country. However, that said, many people have pointed out, why wouldn't they be doing it from here in the UK? There are enough problems already with UK citizens being deported to the United States, which causes legal turmoil every time that happens for us here. So many, many questions as yet unanswered. I think we just have to wait to see how the next 24 hours pans out.
Rob Broomby, correspondent for our partner, the BBC, and Philip Knightley, author and journalist who lives in London, a friend of Julian Assange's. Thanks to both of you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.